This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه تعالى من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جازيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His slave and His messenger. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله في أيام الدهر نفحات فتعارضوا لها فلعل أحدكم أن تصيبه نفحة فلا يشقى بعدها أبدا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that belonging to Allah during the days of the year are seasons. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said فَتَعَارَضُوا لَهَا. So expose yourself to them. And so the Prophet ﷺ is saying that there are seasons, just as there are seasons in which the fruits grow more abundantly than other times of the year, just as there are times in the year where wealth is more frequently accumulated than other times of the year, there are seasons, there are days, there are times during which the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more abundant and more available. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so expose yourself to them, for perhaps you will be struck by something of it, meaning of its mercy and of its blessings. فَلَا تَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. So you will never be saddened after it ever again. And we are about to welcome in a few days some of these incredible days, some of these incredible months, during which the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is more abundant. Days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose in it to reveal His book. And He said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That the month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was revealed. It is a guidance for the people and a clear proof of the guidance and of the criterion. And so these are the days that serve as divine blessing. These are the days that serve as a gift from our Lord. These are the days that in it the tears of the righteous are shed. These are the days that in it the hopes of the believers are raised. These are the months and the days in which the Prophet ﷺ would increase his joy and increase the joy of the companions around him. And he would tell them, آتاكم شهر رمضان شهر مبارك فيه تفتح أبواب الجنة وتغلق أبواب النار فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر من حرم خيرها فقد حرم. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, there has come to you the month of Ramadan, a month that is blessed, a month that in it the doors of paradise are opened and the doors of hellfire are closed, meaning a month that the manifestation of Allah's mercy is open and the manifestation of His punishment is closed. Meaning it is a month, in it there is a day that is worth 1,000 days, a night that is in it that is worth 1,000 nights, and whoever is deprived of its good, then they are truly deprived. And because of the power of this month and the days that are within it, the righteous people used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala months and months in advance, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to witness this month because of their love for it and because of their desire to witness its blessings. And so some of the Salaf used to say, Allahumma sallimni ila Ramadan, wa sallim li Ramadan, wa taslimhu minni mutaqabbila. That he would say, oh Allah, keep me healthy until Ramadan. Keep me healthy, keep me alive until Ramadan. And make Ramadan peaceful for me, meaning make me, allow me to get the blessings of this month. وَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي, and accept from me the month of Ramadan as a deed that is accepted. And so their love for this month and their longing and desire to see this month is something that we seldom imitate. Instead, we see that people, knowing its long days and knowing the heat of the summer, they find themselves anxious and apprehensive before this month. They're not longing to live in its blessings, but they're concerned about how it's going to affect their daily lives. They're not anticipating the delight of fasting, but rather they are fearful about the hardship of thirst. The righteous people spent the year praying for Ramadan. Their lives were revolving around witnessing it and reaping its blessings. And the real danger that we face is living in it without having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real danger that we face is witnessing this month and not transforming our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting just as it was decreed upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ, that you may have taqwa. So Allah azza wa jal ordained upon us in this month and not any other month to fast, and ordained upon all the nations before us to fast. And the reason is for us to have taqwa. And what is taqwa? Why is it so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring upon us this obligation in order to develop in our heart taqwa? He says, Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, Al-taqwa khawfun min al-jaleel, wa amalun bil-tanzeel, wa rida bil-qaleel, وَاسْتَعْدَادُ يَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ. He said it is reverence of the majestic. It is acting upon the revelation. It is contentment with what is little. And it is preparing for the day of departure. This is what he counts as taqwa. That knowing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having khawf, having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doing what He has commanded you to do, and being content with what Allah has decreed for you, and preparing every day to meet Him. It means that you're constantly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your deeds and in your heart. But most of us, we see our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as nothing but a series of commandments. That we pray, we're told to pray, so we pray. We're told to fast, so we fast. And there's nothing beyond that. We see that Allah has commanded us with burdens on our backs and that's it. But the point of fasting is to transform you into someone who is always connected with Allah and always preparing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَعْدَادْ يَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ. You're preparing for the day that you depart and you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so instead of seeing the blessings of this month, and its mercy on our souls, and its shedding of our guilt, and its raising of our ranks, instead all the person can see is the hardship of the fast, and the length of the days, and the difficulty on our bodies. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, أَشَدُّ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنْ يُحْجَبُ الْعَبْدُ عَنْ رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَأَشَدُّ الْعَذَابُ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَنْ يُحْجِبَ الْعَبْدُ عَنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. He said, the worst of the punishments on the next life is that the person, there's a barrier between them and between seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worst of the punishments in this life is that there's a barrier between you and between the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to change our understanding and our perception from seeing this as simply a series of obligations to instead acting out of immense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we transform ourselves from being in a state of performing our duties with laziness, or simply just to finish the act, to instead performing our ibadah out of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and joyfully hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go from a state of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without emotion to when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're embarrassed and shy to worship Him without giving Him all of our emotions. That we realize everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And so we sacrifice in hopes of attaining and earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and looking to the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ash-shawq ila liqa'ik. That you'd say, oh Allah, I am asking you to long to meet you. I ask you to let me long and desire and wish and want to meet you. The true believer, they hope and they desire and they long to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depth of their heart. Why? Because they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world from the depth of their heart and not simply with their limbs. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of this, he says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ, that for the one who fasts is two joys. فَرْحَةً عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ وَفَرْحَةً عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, that there is a joy when he breaks his fast and there is a joy when he meets his Lord. And some people have understood this to mean there's a joy when you break your fast, meaning you're happy that you're eating. But how many times in your life have you gone a long day without eating? And finally in the end you eat, but there's no joy. There's no happiness like the happiness when you break your fast. The happiness when you break your fast is a happiness of knowing that you fulfilled something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no one knows or sees other than Allah, and no one can reward other than Allah. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلَّ عَمَلِ ابْنَ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of the deeds of the child of Adam are for himself, except for fasting, for it belongs to me, and I alone will reward it. I alone am the one who will reward it. Because fasting is something that only Allah can see, and only Allah can witness, and only Allah can appreciate. So the person who fasts while loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is joyful when he breaks his fast, because he knows that only Allah can reward for it. So he has this one joy when he breaks his fast, knowing that only Allah can reward him for his fast. And then he has another joy when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he sees what Allah azza wa jalla has prepared for him. وَفَرْحَةً عِنْدَ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. And so if you want to delight in the pleasure of Ramadan, if you want to feel the pleasure of fasting in Ramadan and not its hardship, you need to fast not only because you have to, not only because it's an obligation, not only because people expect you to fast, but you fast because you are fasting for the sake of the one whom you love. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. That whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah loves to meet them. And whoever hates to meet Allah, then indeed Allah hates to meet them. And Aisha said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. All of us hate to die, O Messenger of Allah. قَالَ لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ. He said, this is not what I'm talking about. Yes, you can have an innate natural fear of death. He said, but when the person does amal salih, when the person does good deeds and expects the reward from Allah, he is obviously going to be joyful to see that reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in this month of increasing in your taqwa, and the heart of taqwa, qalb taqwa, it is that you are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you know yaqeenan, with certainty, that you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're not going to meet Him except that you love to meet Him, except that there are deeds with Him that you have performed only out of your love for Him, that will be with you that will be there for you when you meet Him. And so how do we develop this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we worship Him while we love Him. That we fast and we pray and we wake up in the depths of the night out of our love for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. That all you who believe, whoever amongst you turns away from their religion, then indeed Allah will bring forth a people who He will love and they will love Him. So when Allah speaks about righteous people who will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't say that they will love Him first, then He will love them. No, He says, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He will love them, and He precedes His love first, and then they will love Him. Because it's impossible for the abd, it's impossible for the servant to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without first knowing the love that Allah azza wa jal has for him. Without first knowing the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for him. Without first knowing the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has portioned for him. And until you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot love Him. Until you know how much Allah has blessed you with His love and His mercy and His blessings, you cannot love Him. Until you understand the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that My mercy has encompassed all things, how can you love Allah? Until you know the power of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says in the hadith Qudsi, رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي وَحِلْمِي سَبَقَ عُقُوبَتِي وَأَنَا أَرْحَمُ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَّ الشَّفِيقَ بِوَلَدِهَا, that my mercy supersedes my anger, my tolerance supersedes my punishment, and I am more merciful to you than a mother is with her child. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions witnessed a mother who lost her child, desperately seeking to find that child. And when she found that child and hugged that child and cried over that child and clenched onto that child, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you see this woman? أَتَرَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ أَن تَضَعَ إِبْنَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do any of you see this mother throwing her child into the hellfire? قَالُوا لَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They said, no, Messenger of Allah, she would never do that. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ أَرُحَمُ بِكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِوَلَدِهَا. He said, indeed Allah is more merciful for you than this mother is even with her own child. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith Qudsi, to show you how deep and how grand and how great and how overwhelming the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah says in the hadith Qudsi, يبن آدم إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك ما كان منك ولا أبالي, that O son of Adam, as long as you ask of me and you hope in me, I will forgive whatever sin, ولا أبالي, and I do not care. Meaning that Allah does not care at how terrible the sin is. He doesn't care at how many the sins are. He doesn't care at how evil the sin is. As long as you ask of Him and you turn to Him and you hope in Him and you seek Him and you go to Him with love. يبن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. يا ابن آدم لو أنك أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا أتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. That O son of Adam, if your sins should reach the clouds in the heavens and then you come to me seeking my forgiveness, I will forgive your sins and I do not care. O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with so many sins that they were to fill the entirety of the earth, and you come to me having worshipped none other than me, I will come to you with the same amount of forgiveness. And to show you the grandness of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His love for His creation, look at when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to those who committed the worst of sins, those who tortured the believers and killed them, those who dug the trenches and lit the fires and threw the innocent people into it, men and women and children and even babies, those who tortured and killed the innocent for no reason other than that they said that their Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, that those who tortured the believing men and the believing women, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, and then they did not repent, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ, then for them is the punishment of the hellfire and for them is the burning fire. Even these people who tortured and killed and threw innocent children into fires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds out for them the chance to repent. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, and then they didn't repent. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repentance and a scope of forgiveness for people like that, then what does that tell you about the tremendous love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for all of His creation? Allah didn't simply condemn them to the hellfire, but rather He said if they committed these deeds and did not repent, then they would end up in the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, إِذَا تَقَرَّبَ الْعَبْدُ مِنِّي شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا وَإِذَا آتَانِي مَاشِيًا آتَيْتَهُ هَرْوَلًا. That if my servant draws closer to me a hand span, I will go to him in arm's length. And if he comes to me in arm's length, I will go to him two arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, then I will go to him running. He will come to us running. Have any of you asked yourself, who are we for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come running to us? How insignificant are we for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come running for us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَسَّمَاءُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ مَسَّمَاءُ الدُّنْيَا فِي السَّمَاءُ الثَّانِيَا إِلَّا كَحَبَّةٍ. That the whole heavens of this earth, meaning all of the universe as we know it and probably much more, compared to the second heavens, is like a speck of sand in the desert. And all of the second heaven compared to the third heaven is like a speck of sand in the desert. And the third compared to the fourth is like a speck of sand in the desert. Until he reached the seventh heaven, and he said, the seventh heaven compared to the throne of Allah is like a speck of sand in the desert. So how small are we? How insignificant are we? And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آتيته هرولا, I will go to him running if he comes to me walking. And then he says, وَإِنْ هَرْوَلْ سَعَيْتُ إِلَيْ وَأَنَا أَسْرَعُ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. He said, and if he comes to me running, then I go to him with speed, and I am faster with my forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is faster with His forgiveness. وَأَنَا أَسْرَعُ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. I am even faster with my forgiveness. Because we can't even approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a hand span, not even less than a hand span, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already engulfed us into His forgiveness and into His mercy. You have no ability to walk to the place of water and to make your wudu, and to walk to your place of salah, and to stand between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that Allah has first allowed you to enter into His mercy. So no matter how fast you go to Allah, no matter how much you turn to Allah, He is already faster and He has gone to you quicker. And this is why the slave, when he hears the mu'adhin making the adhan, and he is told to repeat after the mu'adhin until the muezzin reaches hayya ala salah wa hayya ala al-falah, until the muezzin reaches and says, come to your prayer, come to your success. And when he says that, you're commanded to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there's no way and there's no power except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's for you to know and to realize that there is no possibility for you to stand in front of Allah azza wa jal and to stand between the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you and desired for you to stand in front of Him. And He wanted you to stand and to recite His words, and He wanted to hear His words coming out of your mouth. And when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't choose for anyone to worship Him and to draw closer to Him and to stand in front of Him with their hearts in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that Allah azza wa jal wanted to see you standing there and wanted to see you worshipping Him and wanted to see you making dua for Him and wanted to hear you reciting His words back to Him. And if Allah azza wa jal has love for you to allow you to perform these ibadat, then you have to know that Allah azza wa jal does not throw those whom He loves into the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too generous that if any of you go to Him and ask of Him, that He turns you away with nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, 'Abdi, أخرجتك من العدم إلى الوجود وجعلت لك السمع والأبصار والفؤاد. He said, oh my slave, I took you out of nothing and brought you into existence, and I blessed you with hearing and with sight and with feeling. عبدي أسترك وأنت لا تخشاني. Oh my slave, I cover your sins and you do not fear me. How often has Allah Azza wa Jal covered our sins? And how little do we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أذكرك وأنت لا تنساني. I remember you and you forget me. How often has Allah remembered us with His blessings and His provision? How often has He blessed us with wealth, with life, with children, and we have forgotten to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أستحي منك وأنت لا تستحي مني. That Allah feels haya towards us, feels the sense of modesty towards us, that if we ask Him, He answers us. But how often do we feel no haya and modesty towards Allah, that when He asks us and we don't listen? من أعظم مني جودا ومن ذا الذي يقرع ببابي فلم أفتح له. Who is greater in generosity than me? And who is it that knocks at my door and I do not open to them? Let me ask you all by Allah, which amongst you has knocked at the doors of Allah and Allah did not open? Who amongst you went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah did not accept from you? Who amongst you worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the depth of the night and prayed to Him and begged Him and pleaded with Him and asked Him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned you away with nothing? من يقرع ببابي فلم أفتح له. Who is it that knocks at the door of Allah and Allah does not open for them? ومن ذا الذي يسألني ولم أعطيه. And who is the one who asks me and I do not give them? أبخيل أنا فيبخل علي عبدي. Am I stingy and miserly so that my servants can be stingy over me? Look at all that Allah Azza wa Jal has apportioned for you. Isn't it time to give Allah Azza wa Jal our worship from the depth of our hearts and not just from our limbs? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That hasn't the time come for those who have believed for their hearts to become submissive, to have khushu'a, to have hudur, to have presence when you hear the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the hadith قدسي, إني أستحي أن عبدي يرفع يدي ويقول يا رب فأردهما سفرا. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى says that I feel shyness, I feel modesty, that were my servant to raise his hands and say, oh my Lord, ya Rabb, that I would turn him away with nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, after He mentions to us all of the ayat about the month of Ramadan and the obligation to fast in the month of Ramadan, He then says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask you about me, then I am close. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right after the month of Ramadan, He starts talking about His qurbah, how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel closeness to Allah azza wa jal. He says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the call of the one who calls upon me when he calls upon me. And so when you decide to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you decide to raise your hands, when you decide to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though He is the King of kings, though He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, though He is the one who created you and sustained you, He is the one who will go to you and walk to you and run to you and answer your dua when you decide to raise your hands and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار. وصل عليه يا ربنا ما تذوع مسك وفاح. صل عليه يا ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين. وعلى آله وأصحابه طيبين الطاهرين. وعلى أمهات المؤمنين. وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا هما إلا فرجته, ولا دينا إلا قضيته, ولا مريضا إلا شفيته, ولا مبتلا إلا عافيت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان. اللهم وحد صفوفهم واجمع كلمتهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم فك قيد أسرانا وأسر المسلمين وردهم إلى أهلهم سالمين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله قم الصلاة.